Welcome to the very first episode of Work in Progress, a new podcast from the ILO Research Department. This is a space where we dig into big questions about the world of work and share early ideas, personal reflections, and behind-the-scenes insights from the people actually doing the research, from global labor trends and economic shifts to workplace realities and social justice. We explore what research is revealing about the changing world of work. Thanks for tuning in. Let's get started. So what happens when algorithms, not people, decide who gets hired, promoted, or even fired? Or who ends up on the night shift and who doesn't? Artificial intelligence is quietly transforming how companies manage their workforce. It promises efficiency, but also raises serious questions about fairness, dignity, and the future of work. Today, I'm joined by Nikolai Rogowski, senior economist at the ILO's research department. Nikolai has been with the ILO for nearly 30 years, working across regions on employment, labor policy, and the changing world of work. His recent research looks at how AI is reshaping human resource management and what that means for fairness, productivity, and the ILO's human-centered agenda. We'll be unpacking some of the insights from ILO working paper number 95, which is linked on the website if you'd like to explore it further. Nikolai, welcome. To start us off, what drew you to this research and why focus on AI and HRM now?
Thanks, Alessandro. Of course, artificial intelligence is becoming a big part of our life. Well, I understand that it's important, but sometimes, quite frankly, we're not clear what to do with it. As we like to say in our department, research department, more research needs to be done. This piece of work that we will be talking about today is covering just one specific aspect of artificial intelligence. As you said, I would like to talk about the use of artificial intelligence in human resource management. Basically, our project would like to understand what do the companies do in this regard and what does it mean for both employees and workers. The main findings of this project are presented in this ILO working paper that you have mentioned. And I'd like to say that this paper is co-authored by Professor Peter Capelli from Wharton Business School and me.
Interesting. When we think about managing people, there's often this debate between efficiency and treating workers with dignity. How does the ILO approach this? And why does it matter for business performance?
Well, you know, I always wanted to understand how the ILO approaches such as human-centered agenda or more traditionally high road to productivity approach are related to what the company is actually doing in the world out there. Of course, we at the ILO believe that if the employees are treating workers with dignity and respect, and if this is mutual, of course, we will have a win-win situation, meaning that the company will be performing well and that the workers will have better conditions of work and basically will be happy. In a sense, that's the basis for the ILO high road approach to productivity. And I must say that fortunately, there is a lot of evidence that that supports that point, including some evidence coming from the ILO projects, such as SCORE project and Better Work project. However, now we have artificial intelligence, and this might change a lot of things.
That's a really interesting point, because it flips the old idea that managing people is just about control. Can you explain why treating workers well actually drives productivity and how that thinking has evolved?
Well, treating workers well is good not only from a moral, of course, point of view. Nobody would probably argue with that. But also from an economic point of view. Since the Western Electric studies that were carried out in the United States in the 20s and 30s, there have been many studies that supported this approach. In a sense, such evidence could be summarized in two general, very simple, but very important messages to the employers. First, look after employees, and then they will look after your interests. And secondly, empower your employees to make decisions. And there are a lot of approaches that can be used here, from quality circles to lean production to agile management. And probably one should say that productivity, not technology, not machines, not anything else, people's productivity is the main contributor to corporate success. However, it looks like you know, evidence always comes before theory, and it took about, whatever, 25, 30 years before this evidence was supported by proper theoretical studies. And here I'd like to mention, actually, I must mention, a truly revolutionary work of Douglas MacGregor, who developed in late 50s, early 60s, an approach known as Theory X, Theory Y approach. In a sense, this approach challenged traditional sort of Tayloristic approach, which essentially views employees as simply, you know, another factor of production, like raw materials, for example, who should be controlled and, you know, quite frankly, punished if necessary. MacGregor called this Theory X. In contrast to that, he came up with a Theory Y that has much more complex but more accurate assumption that employees have many complicated motivations and, if managed correctly, would do the right thing for the employer. If we go back to a traditional ILO approach to high road to productivity, you can relate high road approach to Theory Y, and Theory X is related to lower road.
Right. Okay, now let's bring AI back into the picture. Based on your research, how does the growing use of AI in HR challenge this idea of empowering workers? What's changing?
Artificial intelligence presents a great breakthrough, but its introduction to human resource management might be a challenge for this high road approach. For example, many companies are replacing the employee empowerment approaches, such as quality circles or lean production that I have already mentioned, with a so-called optimization approach, where artificial intelligence is basically replacing employees with regards to decision-making process. This is a very common trend in such HR functions, for example, as work organization, including work scheduling. Frankly speaking, optimization seems to appeal to many managers, as it sounds per se to be more efficient. As a result, the notion of employee empowerment as a productivity driver is largely ignored. This optimization approach could be, in a sense, an example of low road to productivity that, let's be honest, can bring some short-term economic results. But in the longer term, it leads to negative consequences, such as, you know, high employee turnover, increased number of sick leaves due to mental health problems and burnout, absenteeism, and so on.
Yeah, so considering all the, you know, the consequences of this low road approach that you've mentioned, is this shift toward optimization something you're seeing a lot of already?
Yeah, it is. And by the way, it's more common in the most developed countries, and it's very common in high-tech sectors. There's entire industry of vendors, companies who are selling, you know, various algorithms, and they believe they can offer solutions to virtually every human resource question, with mixed success, I must say.
Right. And are there specific areas of HR where you see AI and this optimization logic having the biggest impact?
Yes, hiring. You know, hiring is perhaps the most time-consuming of the HRM functions. And quite frankly, it's also a function with a huge room for improvement. I must say that even before the introduction of artificial intelligence, many companies did not handle hiring process well. Basically, the approach was reactive. You sit and wait who's applying, and subjective, because, you know, once you pick up some candidates, you interview them. And interviews are related to a whole lot of psychological biases, such as similar to me bias. When you give preference to a candidate whose characteristics are closer to the ones that you have. Or a lot of stereotypes related to age, gender, race, even accent. In this regard, the artificial intelligence-related hiring process is proactive and also more objective, since it's based on the attributes of as many current and past good employees as possible. The algorithms usually look at any potential candidate and tells pretty much how similar they are to those who are or who were your best-performing employees. It's good, but these algorithms also have some biases. Just give you a couple of examples. You know that a number of the Silicon Valley high-tech companies were using algorithms that pretty much presented men as best candidates. And this bias was easy to explain because when these companies were growing, most of their employees were men. And of course, the best performance were also men. Or another example, commuter time. Some algorithms were using commuter time as an attribute. Indeed, commuting distance is a good predictor of turnover, right? If you live close to work, you're more likely to stay. But at the same time, a good candidates were automatically excluded just because they don't live close to the office. And by the way, I do not live close to the office.
I'm aware. I know it's a complex picture, but given all these risks and challenges, do you think AI still has a place in human resource management? And, you know, what's the right way to approach it?
Well, yes, of course, the use of artificial intelligence in HR is not per se a bad thing. What we're saying is that artificial intelligence should not eliminate human dimension and should be used carefully. In a sense, one should find a magic mix between the roles of artificial intelligence and humans.
Now, putting my ILO hat back on, looking at the bigger picture, what role can governments, social partners, and or institutions like the ILO play in making sure AI is used in ways that benefit both workers and businesses?
Oh, it's a very, very good question. Let me start with the ILO. The ILO is taking artificial intelligence very seriously. The ILO has already become a very useful platform for the governments and social partners to discuss their roles in making sure that the introduction of artificial intelligence will not lead to negative economic and, most importantly, social consequences. And, of course, I have very high expectations for the Artificial Intelligence Observatory that is currently being launched. When it comes to the ILO constituents, there are many aspects here. Let me just focus on two of them. In a sense, artificial intelligence is a big part of an overall technological transformation and the development of the so-called knowledge economy. And this is great. But then the question is, how do we make sure that, first, this transformation will not result in massive cases of downsizing and layoffs? And second, workers have adequate skills to address this challenge. Governments and social partners, of course, can address these issues through regulations as well as educational programs that, in the first case, might help companies minimize social costs of restructuring. And in the second case, will ensure the development of what we call a system of lifelong learning. This is particularly important for the old workers who all of a sudden have to learn a lot of new things, including those related to artificial intelligence. I must say that I'm one of these older workers, and I know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not easy.
So we have an enormous task ahead of us, it seems. Nikolai, thank you so much for sharing your insights with us today. It's been a fascinating and enriching discussion. And thanks to all of you for listening. Stay tuned for more conversations from the ILO Research Department, where we'll continue exploring the latest research, ideas, and debates shaping the world of work. Thank you.